Philip, who was born with Down syndrome, and he joined the Sunday school class, who is eight years old class, and that's which is third grade class. And you know, the children can be sometimes kind of rejecting if they are not same style as they are. So they didn't fully accept this little Philip because he was different. However, the creative, godly teacher made a difference, and somewhat they accept him in a certain way. It was a Sunday after Easter, and this teacher came up with a bunch of the, you know, the pantyhose container had, looked like eggs, called known as legs. She brought a bunch of them and gave it to all the kids, and she gave an assignment. I want you to go out in the yard, in the Sunday school yard, and then I want you to find symbolizing life. Okay? And then come back, everybody get together, we're going to talk about it. So this wild confusion happened in the schoolyard, and then everybody running around and look for that something to do with their life. And a few minutes later, about 10 minutes later, the kids came back, and they compare each other's, and of course the teacher's opening the containers. And there are butterfly, and there are rose, and there are leaves, there are rocks, many different things. Finally, it came to the last one. And she opened up the container, and there was nothing. Of course, all the children said, there's nothing inside. Somebody didn't do the job. It's not fair. And the little Philip said, it's mine. I did it so. And they said, you never do anything right, Philip. He said, I did it so. It is empty. The tomb was empty. See, that Philip understood the meaning of the resurrection, the meaning of life in Christ Jesus. While other people don't know, of course, the silence followed, and the kid, now this time they took him full pledge. Not very long after that incident, and Philip died. If it's any other children, they would have shrug off this little infection, but the Philip, it was too much to handle. At the day of the funeral service, this third grade class children went down the aisle with their Sunday school teacher without the flowers. But they laid something on the top of the casket. It was an empty egg. As I said before, he's not in the casket. He's with Jesus. Because Jesus conquered death. My Bible is open in Romans chapter 6. Please. Romans chapter 6. If you're not familiar with the Bible, and you receive this Bible, that would be 1108 in this Bible. 1108. Romans 6, verse 8. And we will pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your this gathering in Christ Jesus. We can celebrate your death. We can celebrate, most of all, your resurrection. While all the other so-called gods is dead and still remain in their tombs. But our God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is no longer in the tomb because he conquered death and he is risen and he is a sitting right hand of the Father. And someday he will return and to take us home. We celebrate your resurrection. We celebrate your honor. We celebrate your glory. We are asking you to put your anointing upon your word and the one who speaks, for his sins are many. Open our heart to receive your word. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 8 of chapter 6, Romans. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Christ, with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. We are going to study about the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The reason why I do that is because everything about Christianity is hinged on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you remove the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there's nothing to believe. There's nothing to hang on to. This is the foundation, this is bedrock of Christianity. All the aspects of Christianity is literally hanging on to this aspect. The fact of resurrection of Jesus Christ. I find the three things. Number one is a life beyond death depends on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Life beyond death depends on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21. In this Bible, 11:30. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Jesus' victory over the death promised us that we too will overcome the death. Because he is the second Adam, he is the one who overcame the death, and we too have eternal life in Christ Jesus. That's the foremost important thing. And the second fact of the importance of the resurrection is God's future judgment of the world rests upon the resurrection. God's future judgment of the world rests upon the future resurrection. Book of Acts 17:31. Acts 17:31. If you're not familiar with the Calvary Chapel, this is what we do. We go through the Bible verses and study from the Word. Because we don't trust man's Word, but we do trust the Word of God. 17:31. There will be 1090 in this Bible. Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. This promise that God will judge all the unrighteous people, all the non-believers, will judge them someday. That is known as great white throne judgment. You don't want to be there because those who will be judged will be sent to hell. Meanwhile, the rest of believers will be also judged. Not according to their sin, but according to what they have done on earth. Good works. That's known as the day of Jesus Christ. Judgment day of Jesus Christ. Third aspect that I have to point out to you is the resurrection of Christ gives us power to live Christian life. The resurrection of Christ that gives us power to live Christian life. Let's go to Romans 8:11. Romans 8:11. It will be 11:10 in this Bible. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, and he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through his spirit who dwells in you. If you are born again Christian, and you are the believer of Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit lives in you. He is the one who will help you. He is the one who will generate the strength. He is the one who will give you the hope to go on. In this world, we are the sojourner. We are the foreigners in this world. We are passing by. The standard God is setting out for us to live up to is not easy. I said it before, and I'll tell you again. Any dead fish can float down the stream. But it takes a live one to go against the stream. It takes anyone to just follow the world stream. But it takes a special born-again Christian people to go against the stream and not following the stream. Do you agree? Amen. All right. What about the opposition against the resurrection, the fact of resurrection? Of course, there is a tremendous amount. Satan is not going to take this resurrection hands, and, you know, just with a, sitting on his hand. Because to him, resurrection means defeat. He thought he had Jesus in the back. He thought he defeated Jesus. He thought he could conquer Jesus and God himself. Then he realized what he's done on the cross, exactly what the Lord wanted. So he, to make sure that he, Jesus would not raise from the dead, he did everything. And of course, whom he used? Pharisees and those the Roman soldiers. There's a three theories that I choose. The first one is a stolen body. Second one is a swoon theory. Third one is a mass hallucinations theory. We'll start with the first one. Stolen body theory, and we'll find it from text from chapter 28 of Matthew. Matthew 28, verse 12. In this Bible, 979, please. Don't sit there, honey. You turn your Bible. Gentlemen, you turn your Bible too, okay? 979 in this book. Verse 12 of chapter 28. A meeting of the old religious leaders was called, and they decided to bribe soldiers. They told the soldiers, "You must say Jesus' disciple came during the night while we were sleeping, and they stole his body." This story spread widely among the Jews, and they still tell it today. As I said before, the devil will do anything to destroy the fact of a resurrection. This guard, the Roman guard, is guarding this Jesus tomb, and they had to come up with a story. They were bribed by the Pharisees, and they were told to tell Governor Pilate that this disciple, while they are sleeping, and they came and stole the body. In my opinion, that pretty much proves the resurrection of itself. Because Roman soldiers, if they do that kind of thing, they get killed. There's no buts about it. And also, Jesus' disciple, they couldn't pull this kind of thing. They are nothing more than a handful of the just normal people. They are not professional soldiers. The Roman soldiers are trained, and they're professional soldiers. It's like I wouldn't go that far, but maybe a bunch of us running against the Army Rangers. That would stand the fact well, right? How many of us can beat the snot of the Army Rangers and take away their things? We cannot. They are trained. Unlikely, Jesus' body was stolen by an enemy, the Pharisee people. Why? Because the last thing they want is the body is gone. Then that will help the disciples to prove that Jesus is risen. If there is a body somewhere, all they have to do, here, is a body. Your Savior, your Messiah is still dead. So this theory does not fly anywhere. The fact of the matter is that Jesus' tomb is empty. That's why they cannot produce the body. Second theory I find is a swoon theory. I find it in John chapter 19, verse 33. John chapter 19, verse 33. Some of you who have been in the Lord for quite some time, to you this is a very basic. It never hurt to go back to basic again. 33 and 35. That would be 1065 in this book. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already, and they did not break his leg. And one of the soldiers, who, however, pierced his side with a spear, and the blood of the and the water flowed out. Underline that and make a note of it, please. This report was from the eyewitness in giving an accurate account. It is present that so that you also can believe. The swoon theory is the second oldest lie of the Satan against the resurrection fact. What the idea is, the swoon means that Jesus really didn't die. He kind of passed out because of the trauma he went through, and because there's such a shock on his body, he didn't die, but he kind of passed out. And when they put him in the cool, damp chamber in the tomb, he kind of got up. Remember that, please. Before they put him in the tomb, what did he have on his body? They embalmed him. They put the tape around him very tightly with the spike, with the material. So it's almost like a glue with a wrapping. So if you're dead, think with me. Be logical. If you're dead, all wrapped up like this, think as like a duct tape. You know, we use duct tape for everything, including landing gear in the airplane, right? So next time when you fly, check your landing gear. So you put the duct tape around your body and see if you can break away from that thing. You cannot. If you are inside, you cannot. That's like a cocoon. Let's say if the swoon theory is correct, think with me, just play with me. So you somehow manage yourself, your hand free, you pull yourself out of that cocoon, and you come out from that place, and this place is covered with a rolling stone. I'm not talking about the group rolling stone. There's no hinge, no handle inside. And he pushed, somehow managed to roll that one-ton-sized stone away. Remember, he's been beaten up. He's been pierced. He's been hanging on the cross for 6 hours. He hadn't had food or water for the last 48 hours. So his tongue is swollen and he cannot breathe well. And his blood has been drained quite a bit. He's not in the shape or form to beat up the squad of trained soldiers. But let's say somehow he managed to go here and do this, and somehow he managed it. So he did a martial and he went on. If you believe that, you have more faith than I do. There's a perfect theme music for that one. Okay. Here's the letter from a guy who wrote to the Christian magazine editor. This is what I read. Our preacher said on Easter that Jesus just swooned on the cross, that his disciple nursed him back to health. What do you think? Sincerely bewildered. Dear bewildered, beat your preacher with a cat of nine tails with a 39 heavy lashes, nail him on the cross, hang him in the sun for 6 hours, run a spear through his heart, embalm him, and put him in the airless tomb for 50 hours, and see what happened. Sincerely, editor. Swoon theory is pathetic. If you were the freshman in the law school, you can beat that thing with the hands down. Correct? It doesn't fly. The reason why they want to do it is they want to try to dispute the fact of resurrection. Let me put it this way. This is a recorded incident. When the Roman soldier stabbed him right side between the ribs, and he punctured through here and to the back of the heart in here. When the person died, or if you could take the blood out from somebody, and you leave it there for some time, it will separate the red spot and the serum, white, look like a white water, clear spot. It will separate. So when they punctured him, the blood came out and water-like serum came out. Being a medical person, to John, that was water and blood. Third theory that they come up with is a mass hallucination theory. I find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. Great theologian Jack Labadie says, 1 Corinthians is located right before the 2 Corinthians. You're wondering who is the jackrabbit? He's sitting way over there. Chapter 15, verse 3. That would be 11:29 in this Bible. Christ died for our sin just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day as the scripture said. He was seen by Peter and then by 12 apostles. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time. As I said before, this is another theory they come up with. Now, listen carefully, please. Hallucination can happen. I'm not denying it. Hallucination can happen if you expect something bad. Especially you're in the desert and you heard a story. People see the mirage of the place where they can get some water. If you long for something so bad, you will see it. However, this the fact about the hallucination. Number one, you have to expect it. Number two, it continues. Number three, it doesn't happen to everyone. Let's go back to the number one fact of a hallucination. If you long for it, if you expect that, it will happen to you. But disciples were not expecting Jesus to be alive. They were very much down and out. They didn't expect that Jesus is alive. And they, as a matter of fact, their hope was dashed. And they thought, it's over. It's not going to happen again. The hallucination fact, number one, just went down the drain. Number two, hallucination should go on continuously if you expect it. However, their hallucination, their idea of hallucination stopped when Jesus ascended to heaven. It stopped. Another fact is, as we just read in the text, it happened to many people in many different places and up to 500 people in one time. Folks, you don't see all staring at somebody who is not existing in the air and all 500 people looking up in the air. Probably they all open their mouths and the birds are flying there. Ooh, look at that. There's a good shot there. Guys, this is another hogwash. The reason why the devil doesn't want you to believe it is because if you believe the resurrection, you will have a hope in God. There's no buts about it. Let's go to John chapter 20, verse 29. There would be 10:67 in this Bible. Jesus said, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who haven't seen me and believe anyway." That's us. Folks, we cannot believe Jesus Christ is alive unless you activate your faith. If you're willing to activate your faith to get into the airplane to fly somewhere and with somebody, by the somebody you don't know any from Adam, or willing to take a Tylenol that is with the information you got from the TV commercial, which is not a times, it's a lie. Why don't you activate their faith in Christ Jesus, in God? What do you got to lose? Damnation in hell? Wow. Good for you if you lose that. But what you will gain? Eternal life in Christ Jesus. This stolen body theory and the swoon theory, hallucination theory, if they are not true, if this is something the disciples made up, let me put it this way. Whenever there is a conspiracy, somebody is bound to spill their guts out, correct? Everybody gets arrested, and somebody will squeal to save their hide. But every one of the disciples went to the grave with the testimony of Jesus, risen Savior. How are you going to dispute that? How are you going to dispute that? There's a over 100,000 people around the world die for the faith in Christ Jesus. They literally die for the name of Jesus Christ around the world. Still, are they stupid? No, they're not stupid. In God's eyes, those saints' deaths are precious. We are living in the place where we are allowed to have a freedom of religion, freedom of faith. Because we have so much freedom, God had to compete with the Monday Night Football and Saturday Night Basketball, which we lost. Let's not think about that. All the other things. You decide which one you're going to follow, which one you're going to serve. Would that be God or your comfortable life in the world? Jesus had to die to take away our sins. And there is no one who sinned too much that Jesus cannot forgive. And there is no one who haven't sinned against God that he doesn't need or she doesn't need Jesus Christ. Let me put it this way. The Word of God says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And for the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. He didn't leave us just that. He extended His mercy and He extended His grace. He extended His love as an invitation. And He sent an invitation to us. And He said that invitation is His only begotten Son, that whoever takes Him will have an everlasting life and will not perish. Jesus clearly said that He is the way and the truth and the life. No man comes unto the Father but through Him. Now, tell me. You're at the juncture. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, whatever you've done before with all the religious practice doesn't mean a thing to God. Now you're at the juncture that you have to decide whether you're going to follow Him or reject Him. There's no halfway. There's no middle ground. There's no gray area. You cannot ride the fence any longer. Jesus said, "If you're for me or you're against me." You don't have to have a turmoil in your heart or unrest or uncertainty for the future. Jesus will give you hope and peace. In the middle of the turmoil. It's been said that 40 people can survive without water, without food for 40 days. It's been said people can survive without water for 4 days. And people can survive without air for 4 minutes. And people cannot survive 1 second without the hope. Do you have that hope in Christ Jesus? If you don't, I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive Him into your heart. Let's stand up and pray.